From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry. If something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Joining me now is scientist and science writer Dr. Neve Shaw. We want to talk about NASA's Artemis II mission because this is the first time since 1972 that astronauts, live people rather than simple machines, have approached the moon. Neve, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, where are we with this mission? We know they blasted off safely, they went into Earth orbit, and they were going to slingshot around the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, they're doing fabulously. They're halfway through now. So they're on day five, and they're all about to wake up in a couple of hours' time. They work off Houston time, so... they're halfway through. They're closer to the moon now than they are to Earth. They've done all the difficult parts of the orbital kind of dynamics part of it. So they had to do this important injection burn to get out of Earth's orbit and put them on the path to the moon. And basically gravity and just like the vacuum of space is doing the rest.
Yeah, they don't jet power to get to the moon.
Nothing.
The moon sucks them in.
That's right. The moon sucks them in and then slings them around. So they just have to do slight adjustments every day. There is a window, a scheduled window for a slight adjustment. But, you know, yesterday they didn't have to do any adjustments. This has been an incredible mission. It's been there's been so many things that have gone so well from the start. Being there on launch day, most of the launches I've been to before, the clock normally stops at some stage because of some issue or other. It didn't. It kept going down.
And they had a couple of issues. I was watching the countdown and pretty much all day as it counted down.
Yeah.
They had two windows of 2 hours that they had to spare because the weather, et cetera, would not be favorable for launches after a certain time. But they'd given themselves some latitude.
They had. That's right. I mean, there is always that launch. You can only go to the moon when, you know, you've got the full moon and there's only a certain window where if you take off at the right time, you will line up with the moon correctly. And that will allow you a splashdown during daytime, which is when they come back. And there's like a 2 hour launch window. The weather was just perfect. I mean, the skies cleared and there was blue skies. And I was talking to the team, the comms team on the ground, you know, they were driving me back to my car and they were saying that actually it was raining all around the complex except at NASA Kennedy. They said they were just absolutely blessed. So it's been, you know, it's been perfectly fine. The only issue that's coming up is the toilet, which is great because it makes it really interesting because everybody's always interested in the toilet. But this is because it's the first time there has ever been a toilet going to the moon. So this is a test mission and it's all about tweaking and figuring out. So the toilet's the only thing that's really causing any issues
now,
at all.
When they go to the dark side, the other side of the moon, will they be out of touch or have they developed communications via other satellites that will enable them to stay in contact with Houston?
They have a deep space network that they've been working on for the last while. I'm not sure if they will go out of communications for a couple of minutes or so. I believe they probably will. But they have, so at 6 o'clock their time, which I think will be around about midnight our time, they will start their approach around the moon. They will go around the dark side of the moon. But the amazing thing is that they're actually going to experience their own personal solar eclipse because the moon is going to obscure the light of the sun. And they have science experiments where they're going to look at the activity of the moon because, you know, for scientists that are interested in the sun, eclipses are a great opportunity to see how active the sun is and how many, how many solar flares they are. So they've got about 10 experiments for that. And then, you know, like what you said, gravity kind of swings them out of that and then they're on their way home. So it really culminates in tomorrow. And then they also promised the night of the launch at the press conference, they were saying that they believe that they have something that they're going to share that's going to do just as well as the Earthrise picture, which, of course, was the one that was released on Christmas Eve 1968 in the lead up to the eventual landing of humans on the moon. So we'll see. But the daily pictures have been phenomenal. There's an app for people who want to follow along, the NASA app, just download it on your phone. They have photographs that they're sharing, and they have news. And then YouTube, their NASA TV YouTube, is showing live coverage of the crew during the day, so you can watch them live. They have a daily summary of what happens every day, like 30 minutes long. So the day four should be up now, or pretty soon now, so you can see what happened yesterday. And then every day there's a press briefing around 10:15 p.m. our time. Everyone can join that. It's very open.
Now, the question, and it was raised by Luke yesterday, Luke O'Neill, why did they need to send humans? Couldn't robots have done this just as well? Couldn't this have all been done by machine?
I think that's a valid question. If you look at Mars, that's kind of what they're doing there. But there's always an element of, if only we could just like pick this up or go to the left, or, you know, there's only so much that a robot can do. And also you have to plan those missions many years in advance. And sometimes when you're there in the moment, you can respond dynamically. I think the thing about humans for this one, Pat, is it's as much about an inspiration mission as it is about returning to the moon. This is not just about humans going to the moon and coming home. What they're doing in this is part of a much longer plan to set up an infrastructure. They want a research station on the moon. They want to understand how to keep humans alive in the absence of oxygen, Earth-like gravity, easily accessible water and food and energy. And so there have been many studies. The European Space Agency have their own initiative called Spaceship EAC and the different centres around Europe, where they look at the regolith, which is the topsoil basically of any celestial object other than Earth, and the moon regolith, and they they've been categorizing it and analyzing it and trying to figure out how do you extract the minerals from it, how do you extract oxygen from it, how do you extract water, the frozen water from the South Pole. So that's called in situ resource utilization, and that's a principle that, you know, the plan is to get humans on the moon. I wouldn't necessarily say to colonize, but certainly to analyze and be there as a research station. And the safest place to trial all that and to figure out how to use these technologies.
All right, Niamh, we have to leave it there. We just lost Niamh. Niamh, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.